We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Doing a podcast today, and I'm gonna we're gonna do it live.
Doing a podcast today, and
just wanna make sure something like that sorted before we get the proper go. So how's it going? You can call this a pre-show if you want. You can call anything if you want. You can call this podcast the Twitter IBX Toy Cat Deep in the. Because the mine is a little bit tricky to see with that. We're always working on the graphics. There'll be improvements. It'll be good. Don't worry. Anyway, let's do this. Hello, I'm IBX Toy Cat, and welcome back to Deep in the Mine. This is a brand new audio podcast that has a YouTube version if you want to watch it, where we're going to be talking about important topics like what makes a good Minecraft feature, because this is an important subject that comes up when you see new updates come out with small things that are actually really important, and it's also important to talk finally about emotes and skins. Minecraft has microtransactions, and they seem like they're going a little bit further every single year, and the most recent outburst of this is just something we need to talk about as a whole, so we're going to be doing that today, right after I mentioned that this is currently available on YouTube. You can listen to it on Spotify as well. In fact, I'm going to encourage you to go do it right there. I'll leave a link in the description. Spotify is great, and if you're listening there right now, then how about we talk about some Minecraft, huh? I think this is a really important subject, because in the field of any business, you've probably heard the phrase, the customer is always right, and therefore you might take that to mean that, oh, what makes the best Minecraft feature? What should they be working on at any given point in time? The answer is clearly what the community wants. It sounds so obvious, in fact, that when you see the community wants something real bad, maybe like the end update or something like that, it's like, why are Mojang not currently working on that? It seems so obvious that if you want to make a better game, you listen to what people say they want in the game most. But there's two problems with this. One is the issue of the vocal minority. You're not hearing about the feature most people want. You're hearing about what most people want to talk about. We all see this when politics season comes around, right? Not everyone yells about their opinion. The people who feel most strong about it yell about it, which gives a real big distortion to those opinions. Even though you might have heard a lot of people say they want an end update, people who don't want an end update are just going to say, yeah, I mean, I guess that's fine. And I guess that's fine is not the mark of a good feature. So that's one of the problems. But the other problem is that people, listening to the customer, saying that the person on the other end is always right, is actually wrong. I have the hot take that actually listening to your customers is important, but is not the end-all be-all of any business, and it's especially not the best idea for adding features to Minecraft. Something I do every single year is I go through, for various videos, the most popular pieces of feedback, and some of these are really good ideas they probably should add. They're really well thought out and balanced, and some of these are really popular ideas that don't add any depth. They're just something that people have looked at and said, yeah, why isn't that in there? So a great example is more dog types. The reason there's not more dog types is, the reason they ask this is because there's so many cat types, why not more dog types? But there's something iconic about the Minecraft dog, and even if you add, there's lots of fun reasons why you shouldn't, but the real one is that it doesn't add any depth to the gameplay. In my opinion, the most important thing when adding a Minecraft feature is not, is this a popular idea? Would people like this one? The much more important idea when adding a Minecraft feature is, will this expand the creativity that Minecraft has to offer? This is the big question. You know, when we saw the most recent 1.20 snapshots, we saw that inside of there was, you know, this brand new bamboo-looking wood block. And on the surface, this makes Minecraft a bit annoying. No one was actually asking for this because we already have bamboo plants, but yet it actually does add new options to the game. It makes crafting these blocks a little bit trickier. You can't go straight from bamboo to wood. You know, it changes up the game in ways that are significant and aren't honestly always positive. When you think about the cave update, one of the best Minecraft updates they've ever seen, a lot of people really are against it because, oh, I can't mine at Y13 anymore, but I love mining at Y13. That's my favorite place to mine. That's how I find the diamonds. You have to learn new things and people don't want to do that. And yet, in spite of that, it was one of the best updates with these huge reaching caves. And so, I think that oftentimes features that people don't want, features that are tricky, can expand the options that are coming to the game. I'm going to be honest with you, when I saw the new bamboo block, the bamboo wood block, I should say, I immediately thought, like, where can I use this to weird effect in Minecraft's world? I'm currently leaning towards making, like, a entire ocean monument and, you know, out of prism, because it looks like it's a yellow prismarine, if you really think about it. So I was thinking, like, yeah, we could do something with that. And the fact that creativity spark came in my brain, what if I made an ocean monument of wood just because of a new block? That's something cool for me, but the answer is not to what makes ToyCat the most excited, even though I wish that's how Minecraft made their features. Instead, the thing that actually makes the biggest difference is what will unlock the best amount of new creativity for all players. I think the one of the things that every Minecraft update has, and they're very popular, I make fun of Mojang for adding polar bears and llamas and turtles and everything like this. However, these are some of the most popular features and some of the most requested things in the game. Every update, when a new mob comes out, not only can they sell more plushes and get real hype for the trailer. Have you seen the frogs? Aren't they adorable? But every single time an update comes out, every single one of these is actually creating a whole new wave of... Every single one of these is creating a whole new wave of people enjoying the game, but it's not really doing anything for creativity. The frog is maybe an exception because you can use the frog to get a brand new block, and that block has some creativity, but the real part of a Minecraft update is when they give you new options to do things. The reason that Neverite is so interesting is because it raises the question, should you stick with diamond tools or go up to Neverite? I mean, diamond armor and Neverite have the same protection, just Neverite enchants easier. Is it worth going for all that mining just to have different looking armor? Is it worth going for all that mining to have tools that only last 33% longer? Interesting questions about what you should do. Interesting things that make you, the player, feel actually in control. These are the important things in a Minecraft update. When they add a single new mob, or if they added new dyeable dog collars, that was a cool feature when it came out. That's a feature you play with once and you see, and it's, wow, it's really cool, right? And then immediately afterwards you realize, okay, well, that's all it is. I dyed my dog. That is the feature over. Whereas features of a bit more depth to them, like the shulker box, are still reinventing the way people play. If you really want, you can fill a donkey's inventory with shulker boxes and transport around hundreds of thousands of items. It takes a lot of work to find a donkey that has all those slots, but also is fast enough for you. Maybe use a mule instead, you could say. It takes a lot of work to kill that many shulkers, but the fact that it unlocks the reason to want to do those things is important. I think there are lots of different Minecraft players. Some are creatively driven, some are goal driven, and some Minecraft players are honestly not even sure what they're doing. They're just kind of playing around because it's the platform in which they do other things. I think this is the sort of player that likes the marketplace, which we'll come back to, by the way. I think we need to. But there are lots of different types of Minecraft players, but finding something which unlocks new reasons for them is important. The reason this update, which seems small by all means, is still exciting to me is because it is doing lots of things that players actually want. In fact, actually, here's another criticism I have. Something that people always say is like, why are Mojang doing, or why is anyone doing this and not this? You see it with Twitter a lot. Wow, you want to talk about current events? Twitter has introduced a brand new subscription where you can pay money to be verified, air quotes. And everyone's like, why are they doing this when they should be doing this instead? It'll be like, why is there adult content on the site which 13-year-olds can use? Or whatever else it'll be. They'll be why are we doing that rather than working on harassment? There's so much harassment right now. You know, people say stuff like that as if it's not clear to everyone that, like, yeah, Well, I mean, to me, like, I'm over 18 and also never really see adult stuff. And also, I never have heard from anyone with children that they're concerned about that. But it, well, ignoring those points, I think if you actually look at the, you know, if you look at those obvious things, someone's already working on them. Every single obvious thing is already being worked on. When someone says Minecraft needs to, you know, the best feature they could do is stop adding new things. I don't care about these fancy new frogs. I don't really want to have a new bamboo wood type. What I want to have instead is a bug-free Minecraft. Bugs are something they're always working on, literally non-stop. You could argue that feature developers, you know, the people who are currently designing new things, should stop doing that and instead work on bugs, but I guarantee you that that's the vocal just saying things because it sounds correct opinion, where as soon as it happened, people go, whoa, 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 why were there no new Minecraft features this year? In fact, I already look at the last 6 months and go, wait, so you've had 5 months of development, and the only thing that's public, not released, just publicly visible, is like, okay, we got like six-ish features right now. It's it is quite a concerning thing when you see it from that angle. So yeah, I think that if the explanation was they're working on bugs, I would still be bummed out. I wouldn't say, well, at least there's 10 more bugs that were fixed, because bug fixes are not the sexy, exciting features that people want. And ultimately, that is something that they actually do have to consider. I think the reason, even though I just said that, like, well, adding a brand new useless mob every update isn't good. Feature design necessarily. I think the frog is the exception. Love the frog. Even the panda, they were getting close to it. And, you know, they, every update, they got a little bit close with those things. Actually, no, I lied about the panda. The panda is cool for nerds like me who want to have a brown panda. But, like, most players go, oh, this is a panda. What do I do with it? Oh, literally nothing? Okay, well, he exists. He's a part of the furniture of the world. Yeah, I think, though, despite that, it's not only good marketing because he came in because of a mob vote in China. It's also just, a brand new thing that people go, wow, that's cool ambience. But there's the thing. Ambience is something you see once and then it's part of the game. What new creativity options does the panda allow for versus the frog, which allows you to make really cool big new things? There are really interesting questions that you can be asking. And I think that's a really big one to dive into. But I think before we we could delve into this forever about, like, okay, I think that expanding creativity is great. I think giving people more goals and survival things to aim for, I think that's great, and I could definitely dive into that all day, every day. And maybe we should. But something I want to talk about, at least a little bit first, to move on here a little bit, is because I mentioned that, like, yeah, some players actually do focus on the game itself. They like goals, they like creativity, they like the challenge of survival. Something needs to be challenging them at all times. But some people kind of use Minecraft as a platform game. In fact, Minecraft Bedrock in particular has been really marketing itself as being, this is the game in which you play other games, almost. You know, that's how the marketplace works. And the market, I think most people accept that, like, okay, people selling their own skins and their own maps on the marketplace, it feels weird. It feels weird that something that is free on other platforms costs money on Bedrock. But again, part of the money goes to the creator. And that's perfectly fine as far as most people are concerned. But where it gets a little bit messier is when it comes to Microsoft themselves selling things. So if you're not already familiar, then allow me to show you the character emote screen. It looks like this. And, as you can see, there are some free emotes where you can unlock them by doing various achievements, like the pickaxe or whatever else. But most of the emotes, the overwhelming majority, cost money. This money doesn't go to some... there's no creator that is making money from this. This is just Microsoft selling you a microtransaction for $3.99. My Xbox, if you can't tell from my... Oh, you can't tell. If you can't tell from my background with not only the American flag, but also the American dream over there... If you can't tell from that, it's in the US, so my Xbox is apparently set to dollars. And just $6.60 Minecoins, $3.99 just to buy a single emote is really, really nuts. And that's before we talk about the fact that obviously you can buy on the character creator, you can buy individual items for your skin that cost a bunch. And it's really interesting to me because everyone, I think, looks at this and goes, yeah, what the heck is going on? Why is it that this new Batman emote costs... $4. Are there ever emotes that cost $4? Yeah, this... Okay, Laughing Out Loud from SpongeBob is only $1.99. Wow, what a good deal. Nothing about this says SpongeBob to me. Like, you could argue the Batman style is something somewhat unique, or you could maybe argue this angry bird fluttering. Like, it's a bird. Birds are technically a thing. But overall, you look at the emotes, and it's just like, what? Also, I think there's one in the... there's this one as well. Chun-Li spinning kick. And for what it's worth, by the way, this is considered rare, this is considered uncommon, and this is considered common. They are going to have a new tier at some point, you can assume, that is more expensive than $4 per remote. There's a lot of these $4 remotes, apparently. Gas Dance? I mean, it's a little bit over the top, some might say. So yeah, that is what it is, if you're not familiar. But I think there's an interesting question in here about, like, what is the deal with this? And the answer to that is kind of, it's a complex one, right? Because there's so many instincts I have. One is that no one is ever no one is ever putting a gun to your head and telling you to buy something. If you don't like emotes, you cannot buy them. In the same way that you cannot buy a drink, unless you're thirsty. I mean, you're more pressured to buy a drink when you're thirsty, but in the same way that you can just not buy a brand new Xbox, there we go. You can play on your old one and it sucks a bit more and it's terrible, etc. You can just not buy things if you don't need them. No one is forced to buy a brand new emote. No matter how cool it looks, that's a thing. However, first of all, there is a point that a lot of people don't have impulse control. Is it the responsibility of corporations to manage your poor impulse control? I mean, that's an interesting thing with how social media is going now as a whole, I would say. But there is a really interesting point in there about should other people be responsible for your lack of making decisions? And, when it's just, oh yeah, you can buy this, it's kind of fine. But everyone draws the line when you look at, like, I'm in Las Vegas, I'm in Nevada, this is a big casino state. So, the casino is literally a model designed to trick your body into wanting to do it. So, the exits are hard to find, you have to go past gambling machines to get out of the game. They trade out your money for tokens, and those tokens, it's really hard to... it removes the psychological barrier to money. It's they're machines designed to make you want to spend more because that's good for business. And everyone goes, ooh, that's a little bit worse. When you sell a product that's addictive or you deliberately design an experience in a way so that you maximize people's poor impulse control, that feels a bit different than saying, we're not in control of what people do because you're trying to be in control of what people do. I mean, but on the other hand, I also say, well, ultimately, no matter how hard I try, I can make a sales pitch for you right now, like, hey, do you want to buy, no matter how hard I try and sell you right now, no matter how much I psychologically try and convince you that you should go to the marketplace and you should find, there's this great, you should go to the marketplace, type in something like, I don't know, like IBX, just see what happens, and then when you get there, just spend the money, that's... Apparently, you have to type in the whole thing, IBX to cat. But I can try and convince you this all you like, that you should buy a 4-bit aquarium rather than Ultra Flat Survival, or that you should buy the grayscale texture pack. What a weird idea this is, by the way. Who is looking for that? What if Minecraft had less color? Is genuinely a thing that exists. I can try and sell you all I like on things, but most of you are going to say, nah, actually. And that's where the interesting point is, that, like, oh, if you can help self-control, why not these other people? Should we be planning everything around the lowest common denominator? That's kind of a different question. But I think the more important one here is, like, well, why does it need to exist in the first place? And the answer is because money. And does it need to, therefore is the question, does Microsoft need the extra money they make from selling $4 remotes? Probably not. I mean, Minecraft is the best-selling game of all time. It is incredibly revenue-positive. They bought Mojang for $2.5 billion. They make that back and a lot more from all the things. Do they need to be selling emotes? But then also you could go a step further down and say, actually, they could give away these emotes for free. They could turn down that revenue, and you might think that would make things so much better. That's right, I'm going to officially have my flight emote, and it's a cool emote, right? But when you pay money for this, when you give them your $4 just for this single emote, you kind of do value the thing more. There is a really weird psychological phenomenon. You can spot this in all places in life. But when you rent something, you care less than when you buy it. When you own something, you care more than when you don't. This is one of those weird things about it. There's a lot of real world examples I'm sure you can try and put together or think about. But it is 100%... wait, real quick. This emote costs -1. Can I buy it at that price? I kind of want to know. The answer is that I apparently can. So, did I just get myself a mine coin? Heck yeah. There is a really interesting thing about when you own something and you pay for something, you care about that thing so much more. And so in a way, when you're trying to customize your cat, you know, like if you see this in clothing all the time, you'll be perfectly fine wearing a $4.99 shirt, or even cheaper. I get two for $5 here at Vegas gift shops, and they're making money on that, right? They could be even cheaper. But when people spend 12 times, 20 times, 50 times that on the same piece of gear, it matters so much more. It's also a higher quality thing because, of course, they're financially incentivized. But is that something that should justify the selling of things that are important to people? You know, because here's to me where the real concern lies. When I was showing you emotes, they're one of the little selection things on the side right here. You can buy skins, you can buy character creators, you can buy emotes. And then there's capes, which currently are not for sale. You have to be a founder, or you have to just have played Minecraft at that weird point in time. Or if you owned both Minecraft editions, you get this. This is close to buying it, but kind of not. Should Minecraft sell capes? Imagine how much you'd care about a cape if you bought it for $20. You would be in love with that cape. You would be like, whoa, yeah, I got the money cape. I got the rich boy money bags baller cape. And yeah, but does that make it a right thing to do? By making something cooler that is not free, you devalue the things that people earned in a way. You know, when there are emotes that take actual achievements and skill to unlock, and then there are ones that you pay for that are way better, doesn't that send a message? When you can see this in many points of the real world. By the way, I'm sorry, there is light just going right down my face. Do you like that? Is that fun? Can you tell that I have to sit in the dark because the sun burns my eyes? Maybe you can. But yeah, there is a really interesting point in here. That is Mojang going too far, you know, with this? Or are they just saying, people want to pay for it, we want to give it to them, and then we have more money to do other cool things? In theory, you know, we know the Minecraft team is always expanding, and making the business case for expanding that team is probably easier when they make a ton of money. And, you know, they make a lot of money just from selling Minecraft to people. They don't release new updates as DLC, they just give them away. And so in exchange for that constant flow of resources and new features, perhaps, is the price to pay increasing monetization? In every other video game, the answer is yes. Because there is a weird, this is one of the weird aspects of business that you're going to really like or really not like. But if you, you know, if you own a, if you had a Minecraft competitor that was 100% free, you weren't charging for emotes and for skins and stuff, that's effectively leaving money on the table. You know there is a market for people who want to buy those things. Why would you not charge for them? In the same way that if you sell your squirt soda for $2, and the store across the street is selling theirs for $7, you could probably charge somewhere between $3 and $6. Still be cheaper than them, still get that advantage, but still be making more money on your beverages. Presumably, you could. There's a whole business case for that. But leaving money on the table is bad for most businesses. And but I think when you dive into that too much, you start to realize that because you know, it's not bad because there's evil businessmen. Like, we picture that there's one guy in a suit, like Bill Gates or Elon Musk or, you know, whoever it is in a suit, just being like, ha, 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 I shall have all the money. By adding emotes to the game, I will make a little bit more. But in reality, corporations are publicly owned. They're owned by you and me, and not actually you or me, because neither of us have shares in Microsoft. Sorry if you have shares in Microsoft. If you do, you know, like, go vote at the shareholder meeting or something. But does Microsoft let people vote? We'll find that out sometime. But you or me don't own shares at Microsoft, most likely. But it is owned by people, and they're just doing their best to maximize for people who spent a lot of money to acquire part of that company. Is that actually so wrong? Yeah, maybe. Depends on your worldview, I guess. But yeah, speaking of worldviews, I kind of have to say that the emote thing, it's something that needs to be watched. I think the problem with it is never always right now, it's where this goes in the future. To me, capes is that line. If you have gone too far, you are actively devaluing something. Because emotes are something that 99% of players don't even use or know exists, if we're being totally honest. Skins are something that everyone knows about, but most people go, yeah, I wouldn't pay for that, unless you just want something cool that you see. And I think that's actually a really nice place, that some people can make a full-time living just making Minecraft skins. Some people can make a full living making Minecraft maps. You might not be aware of this, but I do. I have my own map-making team. And so I'm familiar with a lot of developers who are like, yeah, I used to make things for free as a side gig on the side of my other career, and now I can make Minecraft stuff. Isn't that wonderful? And for every person like that that's kind of outside the game, you know, if you think about it, where This is people who are like contracted or make things, etc. But for every person like that who exists outside of Microsoft, there are people like that who exist on the inside. If you're curious, I released Format. Wow, do you want to buy Ultra Flat Survival? You totally do, by the way. Really, really great. Really great deal. 5-star rated. Get 2 free skins regardless. But ignoring the self-promo for a little bit, I think it is important to say that there is this really big and important need to have things like that and a valuable thing that is being filled. But it's also really important in the same way that Mojang should be looking at features and saying, what is it we actually need that would add to the way people consume things? What could we use that would add to the way that our stuff was looked at? They should also, that our way is consumed and that makes Minecraft so much better. They should also be looking at the monetization and saying, we will make money where we can, and they're going to keep making their steps forward. But also they should draw themselves some red lines. They should draw themselves some, is it called a black line actually? Draw themselves some points where they say that is our limit. That is the ending. I think most things can get very, very crazy if you just follow the money and nothing else. And that is why I think it's really important. One more thing, by the way, just before we go here. I think I wanted to give a breakdown of why 1.19 features are not considered as exciting as what we're seeing so far in 1.20. Because every time I look at the mangrove swamp, which you do a lot because it's on the Minecraft menu screen, right? But every time I look at the mangrove swamp, I realize to myself, like, this was such a hard feature to add that is kind of just there. It is a new biome. It would have been a really good fit in a set of 10 biomes for an update, but only one of them came, and they put so much more work into it, but none of that really shows on the end result side. There's this really painful balance sometimes of like time and effort put in to appreciation put out. The classic example would be something that's really, really popular that really isn't that good or well produced. Reality TV is maybe what jumps people's minds, but you know, like stuff like that. The shows where you're like, this is really, really, really lazy, and yet people enjoy it. I don't understand. I think Minecraft has to work out, like, okay, what things take so much work that they're not worth doing, and what things are easy but are widely appreciated. I think the new blocks are a fun example of that. Of course, Minecraft's going to hit a limit to their new blocks, and I also think that adding little freebies here and there, little fun things, is another great way to make that on the character customization front. But yeah, that's just kind of my take on all of the things business there. Again, like I said, I think you can dive into business all the way till you get to the very bottom of what even is, like, exchange of value. Like, what are they really providing when they sell you something for $4? If every transaction just has two participants, but then is there really two participants if the corporation is owned by a lot of people? You know, I'm just saying there's a really interesting dive into the world of exchange that I won't be going into today, because something I would really appreciate if you're watching right now is either if you got yourself a YouTube Premium, that's real great, you can use this as audio only. But if you don't and you'd like to listen to this, it's available on Spotify as well as here on YouTube. This is going to be a weekly podcast each Thursday. It's going to be a limited about 10 to 12 episode run, just to see, you know, like, is the podcast something you're liking? And if it is, please do support it with, I don't know, the things you like to do. And also check out the brand new map that released this week. Wow, it's called Ultra Flat Survival. It's pretty great. And you know what else is great? Checking this out on Spotify, and I'll see you in the next week, because this is streamed over on this is the only thing I do on Twitch, because it's not on my Twitch, and it's also on Spotify and YouTube. Those are the free platforms, and make sure to follow @IBXToyCat to hear announcements about exactly when it's going out. Thank you for watching. I look forward to seeing you in the next one. Goodbye. I'll look forward to seeing you when I make myself a prismarine bamboo temple. That'll be fun. That'll be a lot of fun. Anyway, yeah, goodbye. I didn't actually do